The December 13th meeting of the Coastal Regional MPO will now come to order. The core MPO is holding an in-person meeting with a virtual option for non-voting members and members of the public. For staff, board members, and members of the public who are participating today, today's agenda is broken down into the following items: approval of the agenda, committee reports, action items to be presented by the staff, other business, status reports on current projects, activity, information reports, other public comments, notes by the chairman, and then adjournment. For each agenda item, action item, the staff will make a presentation. The board may then ask questions of the staff for clarification. During the public comment session, the floor will be open to the public to discuss matters on the agenda. For members of the public that are online, if you wish to comment on an item that the board is considering, use the raise your hand feature on your screen. For persons attending the meeting in person who desire to speak, staff will provide you with a speaker's card. At the appropriate time, I will recognize you and staff will direct you to the microphone. At the end of your allotted time, as determined by me, you will be notified that your time has expired, and I will recognize the next speaker. The meeting will now come to order. First on our agenda is the approval of the agenda. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to approve the agenda for today's meeting, December the 13th.
Palumbo, second.
And properly motion and second that the agenda be approved. Are you ready for the question? Only discussion? All in favor, please signify your vote. And we'll start to my right. Please signify your name and your vote for the record.
Jim Iola, Savannah Airport Commission, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Karen Jarrett, MPC, yes.
Kigler, yes.
Fussell, yes.
Ted Hicks, GDOT, yes.
Dr. Shabazz, yes.
Tanya Milton, yes.
Callanan, yes.
The chairman, yes. Committee reports we will have from ACAT.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. The TCC met on December 7th. During that meeting, we had the election of officers for 2024, the chairperson and also the vice chair. Deanna Brooks was elected as the chairperson. As you know, she had been the vice chair for 2023. Kayla Brown was also elected as the vice chair for 2024. She sits on the Bicycle Walkway Savannah Committee. So the other actions have been listed on our agenda for today. And those recommendations were approved by the TCC during our meeting.
Okay. ACAT.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Morning.
ACAT met this Monday, but did not have a quorum. But we did go through the agenda items as status reports.
Right. CAC.
CAC met December 7th and endorsed all action items.
Okay. Thank you. All right, we'll go to action items. Approval of the November 1st, 2023 core board meeting minutes. Is there a motion?
Mr. Chairman, mm-hmm. I'd like to make a motion for the approval of the November 1st, 2023 core MPO board meeting.
Second.
And properly motion and second that the approval of the minutes from the November 1st meeting be approved. Is there any readiness? Please cast your vote starting to my left.
Callanan, yes.
Milton, yes.
Dr. Shabazz, yes.
Hicks, yes.
Fussell, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Jarrett, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Aiello, yes.
And the chairman, yes. Got all votes in. Let's go on to the calendar. You want to pull that up on the screen?
The Quorum Appeal Board calendar, if you look at it, so we will still meet bi-monthly and on the fourth Wednesday, except August. So we are advancing the August meeting to August 7th. That's because our 2045 plan was adopted on August 7th in 2019. And so we have to adopt the 2050 plan before that deadline. If we schedule the August meeting as the fourth Wednesday, there might be like 3 weeks lapse. And we did consult with FHW and GDOT. They said during that time, we would not be able to process any TIP amendments. So that means no federal dollars will come to our area. So in order to avoid that, we advanced the August meeting to August 7th. So that means all the TCC meeting, advisory committee meeting will be advanced as well. So 3 weeks in advance. Just want to let you know that that's the only exception for next year's calendar.
Right. And make sure they understand about the 180 days.
Yeah, we don't know how much money will be impacted, but we don't want to run the risk.
And that's why we got to get it within that 180-day.
No.
Okay.
No, that's every 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, every 5 years that we adopt the 2050, we adopt the long-range transportation plan. So the last one was August 7th. So we might have only like one agenda meeting, but we just need to have it.
So that we don't run out of time.
So we don't run out of money.
All right. Any questions now about the calendar? Hearing none. Okay. Do we need to adopt?
Yeah, we need to adopt the meeting calendar.
Motion to adopt the calendar.
Mr. Chairman, I motion that we adopt the calendar as presented.
Second.
Proper motion and second that the calendar be adopted as presented. Are you ready for a question? Question, please signify your vote by your name.
Ayala, yes.
Cody, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Garrett,
yes. Tegler, yes.
Fossil, yes.
Hicks, yes.
Dr. Shabazz, yes.
Milton, yes.
Callanan, yes.
And the chairman, yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Moving right along now to the...
Okay. We are required to do performance-based planning and programming, and that means we have to adopt the performance targets. And the highway safety targets are normally adopted every year, as annually. And congestion and freight and the bridges and pavement, those are adopted every 4 years. And the transit asset management and transit targets, we receive them from CAD or GDOT Intermodal, and we adopt those. This is the highway safety targets that we received from GDOT this year. They actually sent their targets, this is for calendar year 2024. So they submitted the target to Federal Highway Administration at the end of August. So we have until February 27th to adopt this, but in order to avoid the 1 day lapse, yeah, this is the 100 day. Yeah. So we have about 100 days after the August 31st to adopt this, but we decided that we would adopt in February, in December at this meeting. So we don't have to run into that problem. So these would be the targets. As for number of fatalities, GDOT want to maintain traffic fatality under the projected 1608 by the end of 2024. And number of serious injuries, the number is 8966. Fatality rate per 100 miles of vehicle miles of travels is 1.36. And serious injury rate is 7.679. And total number of non-motorized fatalities and serious injuries, the number is 802. At the TCC meeting, the TCC actually asked about, because the original language that GDOT sent us say by 2024, but we did coordinate with GDOT after TCC meeting, and so clarified this is by end of calendar year 2024. So if you say by 2024, that means probably by the beginning of 2024. So it's actually by the end of 2024. So we clarified language, we updated the resolution, and this is the portion that you will adopt today. Any questions on that?
Hearing none, are we ready for a motion to adopt?
Mr. Chairman, I motion that we adopt the 2024 highway safety targets as presented.
Second.
Properly motion and second that we adopt the highway safety target. Ready for the question? All in favor, please signify by voting, starting to my left.
Callahan, yes.
Milton, yes.
Dr. Shabazz, yes.
Hicks, yes.
Pussell, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Garrett, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Aiello, yes.
Chairman, yes.
Thank you.
Moving right along. Function clarification.
Yeah, the next one, functional classification and the national highway system. This also, TCC has raised some questions. We did some, get some clarification from GDOT. They sent us the updated information yesterday. So I'll just show you this map. So basically, remember, for the past several years, we constructed the Jimmy DeLoach extension from US 80 to I-16. And then we also constructed the interchange at the US 80 and the Jimmy DeLoach extension. So this segment that is constructed is from US 80 to Pine Barren Road. GDOT proposes to add this segment, the green segment over here, to the national highway system. The southern portion of it from Pine Barren Road to I-16 is already on the national highway system. So this is one request. Another request is to classify this whole segment to principal arterial. So this segment, of course, is newly constructed, so it doesn't have functional classification right now. So GDOT is proposing to classify it as principal arterial. And the southern segment over here, it is currently minor arterial. GDOT proposed to reclassify it as principal arterial. As you can see, this is the proposed changes. So for the green portion, is new principal arterial and a new national highway system main line. And then for this segment, functional classification change from minor arterial to principal arterial. This is a major freight corridor. So you see the trucks normally just move from GPA and then get on either State Road 21 or the Jimmy DeLoach connector. And then they get directly to Jimmy DeLoach extension and then go west to I-16. So this is a major freight corridor. We staff recommend that the MPO board adopt the proposed changes.
All right, any questions?
No, I just want to make a comment. I do appreciate you getting with DOT to clarify this, because at the TCC meeting, it wasn't as clearly depicted on the map. So I appreciate that. Wakoda.
Yeah, they also provided the updated justification for that as well. So just, I received this probably about like 4:30 yesterday afternoon. So you can see this is the justification that they added. In the original letter, they were not very clear. So after the TCC raised the question, so we coordinated with them, they actually provided more clarification on this.
And with that said, Mr. Chairman, I make a motion that we accept and approve the resolution.
Second.
Proper motion and second that we accept the motion to reclassify. Are you ready for the question? All right, please signify your vote by starting to my right.
Aiello, yes.
Cody, yes.
Palumbo, yes.
Kegler, yes.
Fussell, yes.
Hicks, yes.
Dr. Shabazz, yes.
Milton, yes.
Callahan, yes.
And Chairman, yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. You had other business on here, but you didn't give me mm-hmm. none. So I don't know of any other business. So let us go to status report.
Okay. The first status report is the CORMPO MOU fee structure and the bylaws update. We have to briefing you on this several times for the past year, because we had a self-imposed that we would adopt MOU in December and the bylaws in February. But after I attended the GAMPO conference, I talked with Federal Highway Administration and GDOT. They said since we are existing TMA, we don't have a deadline. The key point is that every
current member and every new member agrees to every word that we have included in the MOU and the bylaws. And also because we have several elections for the municipalities, so probably the MOU will be adopted next year. So we want to have this time for a little bit education for the new members that have been elected. So we will target to have the MOU probably adopted in February or April, and the bylaws are finalized in June. So that's the deadline has been changed. Since we were proposing to have elections on the Compio board, FHWA considers that as a major change. So that and with other like expanded boundary, whatever. So we would need a redesignation. So this is where very specifically they told us we need a redesignation. So we will keep on working on the MOU and the bylaws update. And follow up with last quorum appeal board meeting, the board directed the staff to prepare a letter to send to all the jurisdictions, new members and current members, to say, this is the proposed changes, and this is the fee structure, this is the what you will pay. So currently, Effingham County agrees to pay for all of their municipalities. But the other seat, Effingham County has a seat, voting seat on the MPO board. But the other municipality will share one seat, so they will probably rotate, or Effingham County will decide on that. Bryan County, Richmond Hill, and Bryan County have talked about how to pay their share of the dues, and they have decided to use the population based methodology. But the Pembroke is still to be determined. So we have to decide how to come up with that dues for the Pembroke. For Chatham County, the chairman indicated that if we have an election, Chatham County will not pay the 25% of the municipality's share. If Chatham County doesn't pay, then you can have an election. So we actually send that letter out to you just to get your input. I actually attach the letter in this. Melanie actually sent the letter out, so you should have received this letter from Melanie. So it outlined all of this information. And also another input that we got is Chatham Air Transit thought that they shouldn't pay as much as like GPA or Airport Commission. So we are trying to work with CAT on that. But currently we were proposing 70th percentile for GPA and Airport, and then 60th percentile for CAT. So if you just open this, this is the number that you get. So it's based on that, CAT will pay about $19,000, and the GPA and Airport will pay about $34,000. And for all the Chatham County municipalities, you can see if Chatham County pays 25%, this is how much you will pay. But with that scenario, we won't have an election. And County Commission Chair will continue to serve as MPO Board Chair, and the City of Savannah Mayor will continue to serve as the Vice Chair. But if we have an election, and this is what you will pay. So this is the information. We presented all this information to you so that you can give us the feedback. Let us know what you think. We hope to receive your feedback by January the 19th, because we do want to finalize the MOU. Currently, the only portion that is not finalized for the MOU is the fee structure. So,
any questions on them?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Thank you so much for your presentation. And just a quick clarity question. Does the federal government have any guidelines on election of, and this would be election of officers of this governing body, electing itself. Does the federal government and their standards, do they require us to hold elections?
They don't. They don't have that specific language, but encourage us to do election, because previous federal certification, they have talked about it, because this is one of the recommendations for through our certification review before. And then also we did some research. We have 16 MPOs in Georgia. We are the only one that doesn't have elections. So all the other 15, they either have rotating seat. If they won't have like three board members, you can rotate every year. But if you have a larger MPO board, like ARC, they have 38 board members, so they do hold elections. Yes.
Do their elections, in your research, did you find that in their elections, does the county pay for their portion, or, what's the standard here?
They don't have conditions. No.
Why would we have to pay just to elect our own officers? I don't understand.
And Mel, you correct me if I'm wrong. I think that was a county decision to make sure that everybody participated.
Because they weren't paying.
So it has nothing to do with federal standards or guidelines. It was a county decision years and years ago to make sure we got participation. We didn't want to let finances hinder the participation.
In addition to that, the city of Savannah, so that's why you've got the chair and the vice chair, with the county being the chair and the mayor, or the chair being the chair and the mayor being the vice chair, is that at that time, and that was a long time ago, there was a verbal agreement made that they would pay at one point in time. They must have paid for dues for everybody, and that, you know, whoever paid the most probably ended up being the chair. But as time has progressed, the county has continued to pay the 25%. And it is true, every time we get recertified, we get dinged, or there's always a question of why don't you have elections? You're one of the few NPOs in the country really that don't have elections. It is not something that's mandatory technically, but it is something that is encouraged as part of the 3C process that, you know, DOT and the feds are always pushing with regards to collaboration and all of those things. So that's why it is what it is. But we wanted to be very, very clear with you to show you, if things stay as they are, this is what the dues are. And if there is an election and you move forward with that, then your dues are going to go up. And we made sure that we sent this out early enough so that the city managers and county managers could put that or make those adjustments in their budget based on what position that each city or county took with this issue.
Well, that provides some good clarity. And let me just be as dense as the bricks outside for a second for John Q. Public. I'm just a council member from a city. I want to follow and abide by the standards set forth and encouraged by the federal government and do what everybody else is doing in every MPO across the state. Now, I as a voting member of this body, I have to pay additional dues every year just to follow the process that everybody else does. I don't want to have to pay more money just to hold an election that everybody else does and follow the standard. And maybe I'm overthinking this or underthinking this, but it looks like I'm just having to pay, our municipality's having to pay roughly $20,000 a year more just to do what everybody else is doing.
If I may, Mr. Palomo, the difference is this. In the other jurisdictions, the local jurisdictions, they pay their whole dues. So the local jurisdictions would be paying the $33,000 if we were looking at Bryan County's total. In this case, the county has supplemented the jurisdictions during this period of time. I think that's a clear way of stating that. And they're basically saying they will no longer supplement the difference, and that people will be expected to pay what their dues actually are. So look at it from the standpoint of there was a supplemental that the county was paying, and the county is saying they're not going to pay it anymore with regards to the election process.
And Mr.
Go ahead.
Ms. Plum, I would not, while it's not identical, it's the same issue that we're dealing with now with land use and planning countywide. You know, it's my belief that all the municipalities need to be a part of the MPC, and we'd have a better we'd have better land use, you know, folks, we'd have more, equality throughout the county if everybody was a member of the MPC. So I just throw that out.
Plus you have a standard. Yeah. See, and right now we don't have that because all the municipalities are not paying into the MPC. And so, but the county did. Now listen, and I think we need to re-clarify as to having elections, not having elections. All right. What it is honestly, you could have elections. But what the county has said is if we're going to continue to supplement the 25%, we elect the chairman from the county and the mayor from the city every, what, 2 years, every 4 years or whatever it is that comes up. And that's all we say ain't doing. So that what we don't want to happen is, like, for instance, right now we are dealing with Georgia Ports. because they have not been participating. Now they're getting ready to participate. We're just trying to get everybody to the table so that we can have an honest dialogue about how the things are through the whole county. So you can still have the elections. It just says that if you're going to change, all right, then the other counties and municipalities who are part of this have to agree to what we're going to change to, all right?
Yeah, I think election also at this point, because we're adding new members, because we're adding Bryan County members and Effingham County members. So they want to have an election. They might want to have an election. So, I mean, this is time that we point, we just have this question. So this is the decision that you have to make.
I'd like to chime in real quick because, you know, the dues, 25% is limited to Chatham County. It doesn't impact Richmond Hill or Bryan County, a new member. It doesn't impact the Effingham County. But let me share with you, if I wanted to be the chairperson for the MPO, right now, the way the bylaws are written, I am not eligible because it's automatically defaulted to the Chatham County Commission chairperson and the mayor of Savannah. I think that's incorrect because I do have ambitions. There could be someone in Effingham County that wants to step up. I think we're all qualified to do that, having been on MPO and TCC for a long period of time. What I'm trying to say is I think the elections should be done. I think, you know, and everybody has an opportunity to be appointed or to be nominated. It doesn't have to be the chairperson of Chatham County or, you know, maybe Bryan County chairman wants to be the MPO chairperson. I think that opportunity needs to be there, and I think it needs to be clarified. You know, I can't help that, you know, I can't make a decision on the Chatham County and the municipalities having to pay up a little bit more. City of Savannah, really, if I look at this, they're the ones that have the most impact, a couple of thousand dollars. But I think having the opportunity for other people to chair this committee and to represent this region is vital. And, you know, I don't care what the other MPOs are doing. I'm worried about what this MPO is doing and the decisions that we make. I mean, Chairman Ellis has done a fantastic job. I'm not taking anything away from that. But I think there's other people that need the opportunity, you know, and that's where I stand, you know, in Richmond Hill. I've already told Bryan County, I don't need you to pay my part. I've been paying it for years. You know, our population's going up. We'll continue to pay higher dues. Pembroke, you want to be part of the team? You got to pay your dues. So, you know, and I would say that also to the municipalities of Chatham County. You know, Vernonburg is probably the least represented here in this MPO because I don't think I've ever seen Jimmy or anybody come from Vernonburg. They also have the least amount that they pay because of their citizenship. I mean, so, you know, that's my take on it. I think that we need to change the bylaws to allow the election and everybody have a fair chance to fill that position.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, if I may add as well to the other commissioner's point, it's an easier pill to swallow when the difference is $17 a year. You know, that's about one lunch, you know, downtown on a good day. But for the city of Savannah, you know, you're talking about tens of thousands or $20,000 a year, and we're accountable to that. And I'm accountable to those residents that are paying in. We have to do everything in our duty to make a dollar holler. And I think the standards are important. The federal government doesn't imply or encourage or cajole, very often. It's either you're in or you're out. And I want to make sure whatever standards in place that we're abiding by what every other MPO is doing, because our job and our chief duty is to harness all of these federal dollars and get them down to coastal Georgia. And if there's some impediment in our leadership or there's some bylaws change that adds another hurdle to that process that makes sure that we don't get dollars that end up going to Camden County or to, you know, the great city of Atlanta. I want to make sure that we're doing everything. That's what I care about, is abiding by those standards, doing it by the book, following the rules that we need to, and paying our fair share too. I just want to get it right.
Okay, we would appreciate that you can send us a letter, official letter. We need official letter by January the 19th. So you have about 1 month to prepare a letter, send it to us so that we can finalize the bylaw, MOU, based on this.
Good question.
Good morning. So the letter is from the municipalities, right? The yeah. bodies that are represented, yeah. not necessarily individual members, right?
No.
Okay, thank
yeah.
you.
Listen, it has to say whether you agree with the memorandum of understanding totally in all the language that's in there, right?
Yeah,
that's the 19th letter.
Just for clarification, in the letter that you sent to us, we need to have something that basically gives your position with regards to the bylaws, which is part of the MOU.
Right.
So I just want to make sure that is clear, because we need the clarity so that we can finish our part that goes to the state. So that's what we need from all of you. And if you can encourage your elected officials for the CMs that are here to try to meet that deadline, we really do need to have that information during that time frame so that we can continue to push things along. So.
And the other part of that, to make sure there's clarity to it, is we call it a ding, but it doesn't stop us from getting any federal monies because we don't have election. That's not stopping the MPO from getting any federal dollars for any of the municipalities, right? Okay, just make sure you know. I mean, just make sure that's there. It's not hurting us. Atlanta money doesn't go to Atlanta rather than coming to Chatham County or Bryan County or Effingham County because we don't have elections. That's not what they're saying to you. They don't even say you got to do it or you don't have to do it. They're just saying we encourage you to do it and move on. So just make sure we get the letters by the 19th. All right. So that we, because that we must have those things into.
Yeah, we need to formalize those in the MOU.
In the MOU, right. And it's got to be done. So you need that. We need that information by the
19th.
The 19th.
Right. And then after that, we will send the final formal document to you for you to have your elected officials.
Right.
So everybody has the same document.
Yeah. If we can finalize the MOU, including the Appendix B, which is right. the fee structure, we will present it to you. I mean, with all the information that we get. So the MPO board will approve the MOU, and then we send the MOU to all the jurisdictions for like City of Savannah, Poehler, Richmond Hill. So you sign because you have your individual signature page for the MOU. So you will see the whole MOU document.
Okay. The other question you asked is how many of the municipalities, including Effingham and Bryan County, how many will be changing members to the MPO board because of the election that was?
Well, actually, for Effingham County and Bryan County, we did include, because Richmond Hill is already on, Effingham County is already on, so we included Bryan County, Pembroke in the signature page. They all have their own signature pages, and right. then Rincon, Springfield, and Guyton.
But I'm talking about members on this board now, all right, who serve in those,
I changed.
You checking out?
I'm checking out. I'm retiring. I'm retiring. This is actually my last MPO meeting. I chose not to run for reelection.
Okay. So
I've
you know
served
who
the city of Richmond Hill for 20 years, so I think I've just about have my fill.
Okay.
I need a rest.
But my question is, do you know who's going to replace you yet?
We had that discussion, and it looks like it's going to be Mr. Steve Scholar.
Okay.
Steve Scholar.
So we need to bring him up today.
Oh. I will. I have that action. Steve was the, he has served in the Bryan County Planning and Zoning as a director, also in Richmond Hill as planning and zoning director, and he's currently serving as a filling a position in Pembroke in planning and zoning. So he has plenty of experience. I think it'll be an easy transition.
Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I think Melon just clarified your question. So I think I misunderstood it. So you were asking, would the total number of MPO board members change? The answer is no.
Right.
Because currently CEC chairman and KCAT chairman are voting members, but they never show up. So we are consolidating those two committees into one committee, and they will play the advisory role. So those two seats will be replaced by one from Bryan County, the one from Effingham County. So the total number of MPO voting members won't change.
Okay. Yeah. But the personnel will change because Russell.
Yeah, personnel.
Yeah, I'm the only one
here.
So somebody, but somebody replacing him.
Mr. Chairman, there would probably be a change in the city of Savannah, probably a strategic change. So one of the members might change.
And now here's why I asked that question, okay? You want this report and you want them to agree by the 19th of January. So that means that any new members, if it's one of your new members, and I'm just using this hypothetically, okay? If it's one of your new members that you want to be on this board, that new member needs to be brought up to par. Yeah, okay. All right. That's what I want to make sure of. See, just like with him, when whoever's coming, he's going to update them so that they'll know what the memorandum of understanding says and how it's going to govern us. Right. I'm not talking about Effingham changing or, but personnel is going to change up here.
Okay.
Yeah. You got me?
Yeah.
All right. That's now we on the same page.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to make sure we did that, but all municipalities, all jurisdictions know we need that in by the 19th, okay?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I just want to make sure I have this clear. So the so when I communicate with the cities in Effingham, even though there are three cities that essentially share one seat, they each have to show support or request, you know, a change with regards to the MOU, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And then when it comes to the vote of the changes, the actual physical vote, it's the current board configuration that votes, or is it the, I mean, it would have to be because the new bylaws changes, you're voting on the changes, the configuration of the board. So
The new board, we hope to have the new board start operating in August. So your first major task would be the 2050 MPP.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So that new seat won't take effect until next August.
Yeah. Until next August.
I got you. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Are we straight? See, that's what I had to straighten out for, Chairman Cody, because he needed to know that he needed to be here so that we could have the quorum. Thing because he was told he didn't need to come. I told him, yeah, you need to come because we got to have a quorum. All right. Until things change, you know, those things, the MOU and the new, this new structure has not taken into effect yet. That won't be until next year. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And so then the new structure will say who's here, who's not here.
Yes.
Okay. That's what I wanted to make sure we get clear. All right. Because some people were not clear and I got called about that. All right.
Okay.
Anything else now along those lines? All right.
Thank you.
Let's go on to the MTP update.
Okay, the MTP update. I have a very short update on this one because several things happened after November the 1st. One thing is the 2050 socioeconomic data were finally approved or accepted by GDOT and their consultants. So they will use the 2050 SE data for travel demand model. And we also wrapped up the three studies. The consultants all did presentations on the coastal region freight transportation plan, flooding urban valley model study, and U.S. Polar's U.S. 80 corridor study. So you all saw the presentations before, and CAD also did their presentation on the master transit plan and transit development plan. So these would be contributing plans to our 2050 plan. And we also have other studies that we completed before, like 307 corridor study and still 21 access management study and the GDOT Coastal Empire study and also Effingham County, Bryan County's comprehensive plan. So those all contributing to the 2050 long range transportation plan. And we will also incorporate resiliency planning into the 2050. And this is a new requirement from Federal Highway Administration. And Anna from our staff is managing this. So she's going to start her first meeting on this Friday. And we are going to use the Federal Highway Administration's vulnerability assessment scoring tool to conduct this portion. And then we are conducting our second, actually almost to finish our second round of public involvement, because the second round, basically we go to the communities and let them know that we're updating our plan. And we have a survey and we present our survey results. And this is what people want. They want maintenance of the roadways. They want more bicycle and pedestrian roadways. So we present that information. And we also present that we finished the studies and the study recommendations are like this and this. So those are what we did. And we had, we attended community events and we had a presentation. And then we also had a virtual and in-person public meeting in conjunction with the CEC last week. And we are starting the financial plan development probably in January and February, a more intensive development. We still need revenue projection from GDOT. So I'm still coordinating with GDOT. Hopefully we'll get the financial projections in January. And we also presented to you the inflation factors and then cost estimate into at the last meeting. So we're still establishing a TCC subcommittee just to work on the financial plan development, which is the meat and bone of the 2050 plan. So that's what we have over here. And also just want to give you a little bit idea about what we are working on. So we do have we have a draft matrix already compiled. So this would be project list. So you have hundreds of projects from this project list. So you can see on the right side of where they come from. So this will be our first step. So if a project get checked by several of these, that might have be the, like a first screen tier, first screen screening of the project prioritization, and then second we will refine our prioritization methodology and apply like congestion, safety, all that stuff. And then that would be the second tier. So even if we don't have the revenue projections, we can still have a prioritized project list. So if we have the revenue projection, we can just plug in the numbers. So we are still updating the CMP. So you will have a new column called CMP update, and then another column called the travel demand model that will be added. So this is how we select the projects for the 2050 plan for highway projects. For the transit projects, CAD has already finished the master transit plan, transit development plan, and those would be the major sources for project selection. For bicycle and pedestrian and trail projects, we are working on the non-motorized transportation plan, and we will have a prioritized project list. Most likely, we will have a set aside, either 3%, 4% for this 2050 financial plan. And then the projects will be, specific project will be selected from the highest priority from the non-motorized transportation plan.
A question on the I-16 widening. I thought this current phase were going to Poole Parkway. It's not going to Poole Parkway?
This is the widening.
I-16 widening. I was, I know this. The next phase, it says going from, 95 to State Route 67 in Book County. I thought phase we're going to Poole Parkway.
This is the recommendation from the Coastal Empire study. Mm-hmm. The Coastal Empire study is a 4-county. So right. It includes Bullock.
Right. I was talking about the current project.
Yeah, but when we program projects, we probably wouldn't extend that much because it's outside our boundary. We cannot spend money outside our boundary. So if we adopt this project into the 2050 plan, our limit would be probably from I-95 all the way to the whatever boundary that goes to either in Bryan County or FM County. So we are not going to extend to Bullock County. But this is where we get the idea that something is needed like this. But our segments wouldn't be the same.
But then I still would match what GDOT has in its proposed Coastal Empire study.
Yeah, the Coastal Empire study, I think what happens if we do decide to have this project included in our plan, we will have revenues for our portion. GDOT will come with the statewide money for the portion outside of our boundary.
Right.
Yeah, because we cannot spend money outside our boundary.
And I think because Bryan County would be in our jurisdiction, it would be Chatham County and Bryan County.
Yeah.
And Effingham County too.
Yeah.
Then GDOT will pick up at the end of Bryan
Bullock County.
And go into Bullock County. Yeah. Based upon the Coastal Empire study.
Yes.
All right. So they're going to coordinate that anyway. They're not going to start on one part and not. I mean, it's like taking a road that's two lane and making it four lane, but leaving the bridge two lane.
Yeah.
All you're going to do is create a backlog.
Yeah, just the funding sources will be different.
Yeah.
Yeah, but because we can only spend the money allocated to our area into right. our area. So we cannot spend outside of the area.
Okay. So, but we do know that Chatham, Bryan, and Effingham will be included in ours. Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I have a question about 204 widening. The 204 widening states here that it's going to go from Old River Road to 95. Is anything going to happen between Georgetown and 95?
Chatham County is doing a study right now.
This says so we will find out. Coastal Empire study. It's the second.
Yeah, I saw that still. Yeah, widening from between Old River Road and I-95. Yeah, this is the.
Is that a result of the study that's just been that Chatham County was doing?
No. Chatham County just kicked off the State Road 204, our segment. So we have to find out what will happen. I think that study recommendation will come later after we adopt the 2050 plan. So if we do have the revenue, we might amend our plan to accommodate whatever recommendation from that study. But very likely for the 2050 plan, we're not going to have anything specific for that segment.
And you're talking about two different studies.
Yeah.
Right. So Chatham County study, and then you have GDOT did its own study for the Coastal Empire.
Right.
All right. So you got two different studies there. Chatham County is the one that's studying from Georgetown 204 on out.
Okay.
And all that. Yeah.
And we're still waiting on results from that.
Yeah.
We just kicked off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we had that study done earlier, we should have like specific recommendations what needs to be done. But no, we just kicked off. So I think the study recommendation might be included. If we have the revenue, we might be amend into the 2050 plan later after adoption, or we can probably include a project into the next like 2055 plan.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman. Yes. And a similar question for Old River Road. How are we handling if the boundaries set by one study conflict with the boundaries set by another? So Old River, you know, what probably the only disagreement I had with the Coastal Empire study was the kind of limited Old River Road just from 204 to I-16 when we felt it should go from all the way to 80. If we wanted to basically change the boundaries on the Old River Road widening, would that check the box because it's different? It's different boundaries based on what study you're looking at.
Yeah, all this project list is for our reference.
Right.
Reference for project selection. So when we develop the 2050 plan, the projects that we include will have a specific limit.
Okay.
So our limit might be different from this. So
okay.
this is just okay. This is a reference. We know this.
So when we when the MPO presents it could have a different boundary.
Yes.
Okay.
But now because Effingham County is a part of MPO,
mm-hmm.
and because it's also in that study, in that Coastal Empire study, couldn't they ask GDOT to include the rest of?
Yeah, and that's one thing
you need to have that conversation with.
We're actually going to do, yeah.
Yeah, you need to have that. In fact, you know, that's why we had the meetings with all of elected officials mm-hmm. from all over and GDOT, so that you could pull out those things and then go to them specifically and said, okay, you're going to do from 204 to 16. And I'm just using that as a reference now. All right. I'm talking about Old River Road.
Yeah, the Coastal Empire study has already wrapped up. It's already done.
I know the study is done, but mm-hmm. I don't think that's what he's getting to. What we're getting to is that in the Coastal Empire study, it covered Old River Road for a portion.
Right.
But it didn't go all the way to 80.
Mm-hmm.
So I said Effingham County should go to GDOT and get GDOT to extend it all the way to 80. See, then it would become a part of what we do here, because Effingham County is a part of what we do here.
Yeah, I don't think Effingham County needs to go to GDOT. They can come to the MPO. Because we are working on the 2050 plan anyway. So even if Coastal Empire State doesn't include that segment, our congestion management process or travel demand model might include that segment. So the MPO defines the segments that we want to make improvements to, not GDOT. So GDOT can say, okay, you include the project into your plan, and the next step is to include your project into the TIP.
Okay, but understand what he's saying, though.
Yes, I was going to say, I mean, from what you're saying is that just because we change the boundaries of the project, it doesn't uncheck any of these boxes. For weighting the validity of and the strength of the project, having it extended from 280 would basically keep the Coastal Empire Study and the Regional Freight Transportation Plan and the core TIP all in place because MPO is changing that boundary.
Yeah, because what becomes official, these are just the recommendations from the studies. Right. What's become official is what's included in our 2050 MTP. And finally, the programming part of it, TIP. That's when you really see what the project will look like. And these are just the recommendations.
Yeah, and they're going to stay recommendations until GDOT puts the money in place.
Yes, until we start to implement them, yes.
When the money get in place, that's when they become official.
Yes.
Right, GDOT is asking for that money, but they don't have that money for the Coastal Empire study yet now. You might as well, I hope everybody up here understand that, all right? That plan that they came and show us about the Coastal Empire, all right, they're asking for $1.4 trillion, but they don't have that yet.
No.
So this is their recommendation to the state. So when get your recommendation in while they recommend it, because once they get that money and lock it in, see if you're not in, you locked out. That's the point I want to make. All right. So that's why we did that, brought them here with their Coastal Empire study, so we all could understand what they're doing.
Okay.
And then what we need to do. And yeah, they could come to MPO and then MPO can go to GDOT, but I'd go to GDOT myself. All right. I know Chatham County will.
Yeah, they only implement the project when we include the project into our long-range plan and the TIP. Yeah.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other thoughts? Are we ready to go on?
Okay. Thank you.
All righty.
The next one, non-motorized transportation plan, Asia is going to do the presentation.
Okay.
Okay, this will just be a brief status report on the non-motorized transportation plan update. So staff is continuing to work on the non-motorized transportation plan, and this plan is a document that addresses the development of bike and pedestrian infrastructure in the core MPO planning area. So one of the goals of the non-motorized transportation plan is to compile a list of pedestrian and bicycle projects that can be incorporated into the 2050 Metropolitan Transportation Plan, and from there, that project list will be prioritized and programmed for implementation. So current activities related to updating that project list includes communicating with local governments, agencies, and organizations to know what should be included. So we're asking local governments or agencies or organizations like Bike Walk Savannah what should be in this plan. We're also researching plans from local governments, such as local comprehensive plans and development plans, to ensure that the non-motorized projects that they identified in those plans are consistent with what we will have in our plan. We also analyzed findings from those large data sets that we showed in previous meetings to make project suggestions and recommendations. And we also involved public input to make project recommendations. So, for example, we have a few surveys running. And from those survey responses, we were able to identify a few places where we should have some bike and pedestrian infrastructure updates. And we also listen to the calls and the emails that people give us so we know what people need where. We're also reviewing the recommendations from local transportation studies to, again, make sure that those studies are consistent with the non-motorized transportation plan. So, for example, the U.S. 80 corridor study, we're ensuring that any bike and pedestrian projects that may have been identified in that study, we're going to add that to the non-motorized transportation plan. So I have some examples in the following pages of just where we're sourcing projects for this project list, but I just wanted to state that the project list is projected to be completed in February of 2024, and the plan, the entire non-motorized transportation plan, is projected to be adopted in June of 2024. So the following pages is just a basic example of where we are sourcing these projects. So this is from the Bloomingdale Growth Plan, where they identified some trail and multi-use trail projects. And so we ensured that what they identified here, we're going to add to the non-motorized transportation plan. This is an example from the Effingham County Comprehensive Plan, where some bike and pedestrian projects were identified, and we're ensuring that that is added to the non-motorized transportation plan. This is just a screenshot of some of the large data sets that we're showing. That we showed in previous meetings. And so we are using this data to understand what we should be recommending and where. And then this is just an example of the American Community Survey data that we're using, which we are breaking down the counties by census tracts. So in this example, I'm only showing Chatham County, but we also have this data for Bryan County and Effingham County. And so this table specifically lets us know where people are walking to commute for work. And so we're using data like that to also update the non-motorized transportation plan. So that is the end of the status report. Are there any questions?
Questions? Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, let's go on to the CMP status update.
Good morning.
Morning.
All right. So situationally, somehow, it happened in a good manner, is such that the CMP is after most of the other reports. So the CMP includes a lot of different reports, including information from the freight plan, the 2050 MTP, et cetera, bike ped. So I'm also working with Anna and Asia to update the CMP for their particular sections like bike ped and resiliency, emissions reductions, things like that. So, of course, as I mentioned before, here is the schedule for the CMP. It's going along quite finely. I'm working with REDIS. I forgot what the acronym stands for. There are so many acronyms. But they have a repository of data, and they collect it from, for instance, the I-95 Coalition, other roadways, and other MPOs, and data all across the state of Georgia and other states. I think they're located in Maryland. I'm not sure. But like I said, the CMP is going along quite well. I've been working on various sections. We'll be updating other sections. I gave Wycota, Pamela, and Melanie lots of information as far as how far I've gotten along thus far. Got some travel characteristics, and it's on track to be completed early in January. I think most of the deadlines I gave people was January 5th for draft sections, and then the month of January will probably be taken to do a draft review in-house, and if everybody wants to, as well as other jurisdictions that they want to look it over. It'll be completed before, I think, I don't know when the MTP will be completed, but definitely before all of that, given the feedback from the drafts. So does anybody have any questions?
Genesis, could you explain to them, because we've got some new people, what the congestion management plan is
and
the purpose of it?
So we all know I-16 is under construction. We know we've got a lot of roadways under construction. So what the congestion management process does, the plan puts together all the roadways that have the most congestion. So particularly I look at data all across the area that we study. So Effingham, Bryan, Chatham County. We also look at some of the other sections I mentioned, like bike ped and how to get people to work faster. But we want to look at roadways that are under a lot of congestion, how to manage that congestion, whether it be signal timing updates, whether it be projects to change the actual infrastructure itself. So the facility, a facility is what we call the roadway sometimes. The facility is the infrastructure for that roadway. So if it's the interchange, if it's a ramp in particular, if it's, like I said, signal timing, if it's adding crosswalks, if it's adding bicycle facilities, things like that. So if we can get people places faster, especially particular activity areas, if you're not familiar with what an activity center is, it's something like a development with retail and things like that. Getting people to school, just making sure the roadway accommodates all users and that they can get to places safely, efficiently, and effectively.
All right, any questions? None? Yeah.
So does that, you've got this study done here. The recommendations, if there are any other recommendations, I have an issue with the timing of the light at Cottonvale and 17. It's a turn lane, a left turn lane, and you can turn left, but you can only get like three cars out of there.
Right. So usually you want those recommendations for like the 2050 MTP update. What we like to do is find out what kind of congestion you have on the roadway. Because just because the light has a bad signal doesn't necessarily mean it's congested. It just may mean that the timing is all off. And so people are kind of in places they shouldn't necessarily be, or maybe somebody can't cross the road. So congestion is usually where you have too much demand for one roadway. So when you look at congestion, it's usually something like if we provide alternative routes or if we can fix a route. But just for one signal, I would think that would be maybe more of the 2050 MTP update or and I'm familiar with Atlanta. They have RTOP and all those, the Regional Transportation Operations Plan. So they have their own signal plan. I don't know what we do here in Chatham County. If we have like a signal plan, is there any consultant that's in charge? So yeah, so there are a lot of things we can do with that. It's not that I don't want your suggestion. It's that I have to figure out where to place it and how to incorporate it into everything.
And it is congested.
And it's congested. All right.
It is congested.
So yeah.
And it's one way in and one way out.
So right. So if we can talk about that later, but we can add that to something. We can study it. We might have a study that we're using to put that into, and it might be my study, but I'm not sure yet.
Thank you.
It might just be a bad signal.
It could be.
You need to get in touch with GDOT. But
And yeah, and it might be that it needs to be an adaptive controlled signal, which means that it has computers that look at how many cars on the roadway, they have embedded lines in the road, or it might be that it needs to have a camera looking at it to figure out what's happening. So there's all sorts of things that could be happening.
All right. All right.
Yes.
Anybody else? Any other questions? All right. Let's move right along.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. UPW.
Okay, the next item is the UPW development. I do have the draft UPWP included over here, but if you want to read it, it's like a 100-page document, but I will just give you a very brief presentation over here just to let you know what's included in the UPWP. The Unified Planning Work Program is basically the staff budget. So like what I do, what Aisha does, what Anna does, what the Genesis does, and what Melanie does, what Sally does. So it just outlines what we do for fiscal year 2025, which starts on July 1st next year and and ends on June 30th, 2025. So basically, it outlines what we do and how much money we have to pay for that service. So we basically, the three funding sources support the MPO activities over here. One is the highway planning funds called PL from Federal Highway Administration passing through GDOT. Another one is Y410, and that's for complete street, and that's for bicycle and pedestrian planning. So basically it pays for part of what HR does. And then Section 5303, that's passing through Federal Transit Administration, passing through GDOT intermodal. And so for all three funding sources, we need 20% local match, with the exception of Y410, because it's such a small amount, a lot of MPOs don't want to use it because it's such a burden. But in order to do, in order to encourage them to use the money, FHWA waived the matching funds. So that one is 100% federal. But the PL and Section 53 straight, we have to pay 20%. That's what we're talking about, membership dues, membership dues. Remember, we talked about the membership dues. That's what the membership dues cover. So it covers the local match to the PL, 20% of that, and the 10% of Section 5303, because another 10% is covered by GDOT. So this is how much money we're estimating that we're going to have. I haven't received the revenue from GDOT on the highway portion of it, so assume last year's level. But the transit level, I do know, because Janice has already applied for that funds in September. So we have about $189,000 of transit money. But for the highway money, we have about $545,000. So GDOT is still revising their formula. We don't know exactly how much will be, but this is based on last year's number. So in total, we have about $792,000. So what are we going to use that money for? So what that money will pay? So this is the major task that the staff will work on in that fiscal year. So we will finalize the 2050 MTP document, because in August we're going to adopt that plan. And then we will probably finalize all the chapters, make sure the graphics and links, everything's right. And then we would develop executive summary, so it wouldn't be very text-driven. So we want to have some good people to help us to do the graphic design. So it will be graphic-driven, executive summary. And as an MPO, we are required to translate that document into the limited English proficiency languages. So in our area, currently, we have Spanish, Chinese, and Vietnamese. But with Hyundai coming, we know Korean people will increase. So we will translate executive summary into four different languages. So this is what the staff will do. And then we will also maintain our current tip to make sure the transit dollars and federal dollars and highway dollars come to our area. So we maintain that. We also need to update our participation plan, because we had three rounds of public involvement for 2050 plan. So we evaluate the techniques, which ones are effective, which ones are not. So we include all that findings into the participation plan. And we also need to update our Title VI plan because we will do equity analysis. So we have 2050 plans, which projects contribute to like making people's lives better. In the EJ community. So we do equity analysis that will be reflected in the updates to the Title VI plan. Another major undertaking is federal certification review. So the Quorum PO is a TMA, as a larger MPO with a population of more than 200,000. So we get certified every 4 years. Our last certification review was 2021. So if we don't get certified, $0 will come to our area. So we will make sure we get certified. That means all our plans and our programs, everything has to be right. So we will work with FHWA, GDOT, and FTA to make sure that we get the certification review done. And then we don't have corrective actions. So we might have recommendations, but we don't have corrective actions. So we will work on the federal certification review. And we also, like, we just adopted safety targets. And so we might have like other targets to adopt. So we will stick to the performance-based planning programming. And also with the current legislation, IIJA or BIL, they have a lot of like funding opportunities. We want to make sure we keep track of that. We apply for the funds if necessary, or we assist the local governments to apply for funds, and we will make sure that we get the funds to do our planning and project implementation. And also we will manage some special studies, because after 2050 plan is adopted, staff will have some availability to manage some special studies. So I'm just listing some of the studies. So some of the studies we will probably continue to coordinate with the project sponsors. For example, City of Savannah is working with GDOT on the I-16 exit ramp removal, IMR update, and Chatham County is doing the 204 study, 25 US 17 corridor study, President Street, railroad crossing elimination study. And CAD is conducting AOPP-funded study, ARP, and then the SMART grant for the microtransit. So we will coordinate with all these agencies. If they need TIP amendments, if they need UPWP amendment, if they need whatever like assistance that we can apply, and we will work with them on that. And we will also probably have some time to apply for some funds for new studies. So these are some of the studies, the unfunded study that are included in the UPWP. So we might be able to apply some funds for, I mean, with the limited staff, we might manage one or two probably. So one of these we will choose to apply for funding. So one of those would be like a resilience improvement plan, because the federal like protect grant, if we develop that RIP plan with the protect money, if we get the money, it's 100% federal funded. And another good thing is if we do have a RIP plan and all of the projects that come to our area to be paid by the protect money, we only pay 10% local match. So we don't pay 20% local match. So this is one of the study we might pursue. Another one is the urban flooding model phase two, because we completed the phase one for the current urban boundary. So we have expanded to Bryan County, Effingham County. So we might do the phase two for that. And then a follow up to the freight plan, we might pursue funding for a regional truck parking study. So this is one of the recommendations from the freight plan. And, We actually have several feedbacks through the public involvement, the second round of public involvement. People want to see, do an inventory of like sidewalks and crosswalks, conditions and do inventory, of that and also tracking how those projects are implemented. So we might do a study on that as well. So these are just some of the possibilities. Chatham County, still wants to pursue if they have the, staff availability and, pursue the Islands Expressway between Truman Parkway and US 80. And, Chatham County and Effingham County are coordinating. I think this Old River Road probably wouldn't be included because we might have a project, not a study. We need a project, not a study. So we might include that project, into, the 2050 plan and the TIP later. So this will be taken out. But Effingham County wants to, complete a study on US 80. Extend west because we complete the pool actually complete the phase one, which is within Chatham County. So from county line all the way to I-516. So Effingham County want the US 80 like extend west, from county line to US 280. So we might pursue funding for that one as well. And CAD has several studies, a transit oriented development study, bus stop amenity study, mobility hub study, and bus rapid transit study. So these are studies all of these unfunded studies, they don't have the funding yet. So we might, depending on which one that we have the capability and the local match. So we might pursue some of these funding opportunities.
There we go. One thing I did want to mention, our planning chief and I spoke about this yesterday on the bus amenity study. It's the comprehensive scope of that bus amenity study includes more than what is in the current study that we have going on. But for purposes, I know that there's some people here who are participating in and may have heard of some of the inventory work that we have going on right now. Mm-hmm. So I just didn't want there to be any confusion about that. We do have a comprehensive inventory of all 1,100 plus stops, shelters, and everything in the county. We're developing it into a GIS-based layer for management purposes, and it includes, you know, sort of a comprehensive evaluation of the status and the condition and all those kinds, so we can use it for prioritization and budgetary improvements for improving shelters, stops, and so forth. So just wanted to mention that, but this goes much broader than that.
Yeah, this is just, if you just, cause I did mention that I have the preliminary draft of the UPWP attached to the agenda. So the staff members just to take a look at that. And if you have the scope that, like, for example, Effingham County needs to send me the scope for the US 80 corridor study and then a cost estimate, we include that into the UPWP because we need to send that to FHWP and GDOT for review. For the next 30 days. So if you have information, try to send that information to me, by the end of this week, because I can send them the draft document for review next week, but I need to incorporate all the information. So these are some of the information that I've included in the UPWP. And then I also talked about how much money we are going to have. So this is how we allocate the resources. So for example, under administration, that probably will cover certification review and performance-based planning. For system planning, that will cover the 2050 plan update, and then the TIP maintenance, and then also coordinating with Chatham County, with City of Savannah on the special studies. For the transit, under administration, that will support the federal certification review, long-range plan, that's 2050, and the short-range plan, that's the AOPP and the ARP-funded study and the microtransit study. So we're going to coordinate with CAT. So that money will cover that activity, staff activity, and then also, of course, the TIP, because the transit TIP is also a major part of the TIP. And then the complete street, that will cover the implementation of the bike path plan, and if we apply for the funds for the two, so Asia property will manage that, so that will pay for that. So this is basically what we have over there. So we started to do the call for plans and studies in August for the UPWP, and we did the grant application 5303 in September. So I developed the UPWP last month and the beginning of this month. So this is the first time we present it to you, and then the next step is for FHW, FTA, and GDOT review. And after we incorporate all of the comments, and we will present the revised draft to you in February for final adoption. So after that, and then we, FHW approve that, and we sign the contract, and we'll work under that new budget. Any questions?
Any questions? Let me ask you one more quote. Go back to the unfunded list. Okay, write down. This unfunded money, these unfunded projects and the application for them, are they still ongoing or are they closed?
No. These are newly identified needs. If we do have the staff capability, and okay, we might assist, FM County wants to do the USAID corridor study. So we might apply for the discretionary PL funds on behalf of FM County, but they will be the project manager.
Let me ask the folks from FM County and Bryan County a question. All right, you see here where they got the FM County USAID corridor study?
In my what? Two? I'm sorry.
The phase two?
Yes.
On your screen?
Yes, sir.
All right. That's going through Effingham County, right?
80. Yes, sir.
But doesn't 80 go through Bryan County?
Yeah, and so we were trying to determine what boundary to have on it. It just crosses the Ogeechee and intersects. We figured 280 might be a good termination point. So we're going to discuss that with Bryan County.
Bryan County? Okay. All right. That's now you understand what I was asking.
Yes, sir.
Oh, okay. All right. You can go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah. It goes back to my example. Why widen the road for four lanes, then you get to the bridge that's only two lanes. All right. So you know 80 runs all the way to Bullock County, which means it covers through Bryan County and Effingham County. So I just wonder if we have an expand that study in the phase two to include that.
And Bryan County may after discussion, yeah, they may want to go even farther.
Yeah, well, that's why I asked, you know, you all get together on that. Okay, because it comes through MP Hill.
Okay. Yes, sir.
That's my only reason for asking that. All right, anybody else?
Doesn't GDOT do the bridge study? Because I've worked on that before.
GDOT does bridge studies when it's either strictly state highways or it's federal highways. Okay. All right. Then that's when they do, yeah, because Chatham County, we're in the midst of them doing now, trying to get, but we got to do both, all right, because we're going to widen Quaco Road and Little Neck Road. They all cross 95. So in order to do anything with the bridge at 95, you got to get the feds to say yes. So therefore, we have to work through GDOT to get the feds to say yes, all right? So that haven't come forward yet because it's just in the conversation stage. But yeah, you're right. According to who bridge it is, if it's the Fed bridge, you can't touch it unless you talk to them. All right. Okay.
Okay. Any more questions?
Any more? Ready to go on to Urban?
Okay. Let me just close this one over here. Just go back. Yeah. Okay. The last status report is the urban area adjustment. So every census, after each decennial census, what happens is the DOTs, the state DOTs, in coordination with the MPOs, and have to update the roadway functional classifications. Before they do that, before DOT does that, they have to define something called adjusted urban area. So basically, they use the latest census information, urban area, and just doesn't smooth the boundary, so not extending too much out. Smooth the boundary, so that will be the adjusted urban area. So every roadway within that boundary will be classified as urban. So it's urban principal arterial, urban minor arterial, urban collectors, urban expressways. And outside of that, every roadway will be classified as rural. So the difference is the urban segments, urban sections require more money for maintenance. So if GDOT doesn't have that much money, they would rather classify as little urban as possible. And so the rural portion will be bigger. So this is the boundary they send us. The shaded portion is the census defined Savannah urban area. So what GDOT did is to smooth the boundary to the nearest intersection. So the red line delineates the urban adjusted Savannah urban area. And this is totally different from the Compio boundary, whatever. No, this is just only for the purpose of functional roadway functional classification. So all the roadways within this boundary, including, like, for example, the I-95 over here, will be urban interstates. But outside that will be rural. So this is the boundary they proposed to us. And this is the comparison between our boundary and adjusted urban boundary. And then this is the three county where you see where the urban sections are. So no matter whether we agree with it or not, GDOT decided that this is the boundary. So they send us the letter just for signature. So we basically we reviewed their methodology. So use the rivers or use the interchange roadways or something. So we actually agree with them. So if they don't have the money, they don't have the money to maintain all the urban sections. So we just agree with them. So actually Melanie has already signed the letter. So this is just to give you this information, just for reference. So if people ask you about it, and you can just reference this information. So any questions on this?
All right. Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to status reports.
Going to informational reports.
Informational reports? Okay. Status.
Is Katie on?
Project status. Is she on?
Good morning.
Good morning.
For pre-construction projects, we've got 19-219 State Route 404, the spur at Talmadge Memorial Bridge. It's moving along. I'm working on environmental documents, and the stakeholder coordination is ongoing. And the general contractor bid opening is today. 15-151, the safety improvements on State Route 204 from State Route 21 to Rio Road. PCRF is in progress to shift the schedule, and next major milestone is PFPR. $15,675, the safety improvements on I-16 at Chatham Parkway continues to hold for let. Twin projects 15-704 and 15-705, the bridge replacement over Back River and widening on State Route 404 spur from northeast of Savannah Harbor to Back River, remains in preliminary design and is working on PFPR. 17-414 and 415, Bull River and Lazaretto, continue waiting on environmental tech studies and working on draft environmental documents. 18023, it's a roundabout on State Route 30. At Hodgefield Road, a PCRF will be submitted in January, proposing right-of-way authorization in November of 25 and let in 26. For construction reports, Work is progressing on all projects for 13727 on I-16 at 307. The DGI project opened to traffic last Sunday afternoon. Ongoing paving work along I-16 ramp tie-ins and concrete paving for ramp widenings. 13741, the Savannah River Bridge replacement in Port Wentworth. 17 of 26 vents are completed. The in-water work construction has begun, and construction of the temporary work bridge is ongoing at Middle River Bridge. Any questions?
Question for GDOT? No, ma'am. Okay. Chatham County?
Good morning.
Morning.
The I-16 at Jimmy Deloach Parkway Interchange, we recently had the constructability review on this project last week. Sheppes Road Improvement Project, we are going forward with that one. The next step in that's going to be the public information open house, which we are planning to do sometime in February next year. Girard Ave Improvement Projects, the next step for that project is going to be the preliminary field plan review. So working on getting all the documents together to hold that. Green Island Path is still going along. For our studies, the State Route 25, State Route 204, and President Street at Truman Railroad Study, we have our PFA signed for those, and so we're hoping to issue notice to proceed on those projects soon. The Quaco Road widening project, we are doing some changes to that project. It was originally 3 lanes. We're going to be upgrading it to 4 lanes, and so we're doing some additional engineering work on that. Waltar Road slope stabilization, that project as well. We are having some additional engineering work done on that project to look at the methods for construction. And then the projects that are currently under construction, all of those are proceeding as expected. Are there any questions on any projects?
Questions? Thank you, ma'am. City of Savannah.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and board members. Joe Sherrill, City of Savannah. The first project update for today, Project Duran. In November, we had some productive meetings with FHWA and GDOT and have a clear path forward for updating some public engagement items in order to receive a record of decision for that project. It's vital that we receive that record of decision so that we can move forward with right-of-way acquisition and continue the project moving forward. DeLesseps Avenue, construction is ongoing between Waters Avenue and the Truman Parkway. Underground utility work continues to progress on a block-by-block method, and we are excited about the continual progress we will make within the next 2 months. A Truman Trail Phase 2B has been put out for our RFP for construction and closed this past week. We are in the middle of scoring those proposals and expect to have an award within the next 30 days. Additionally, the Middle Ground Road, which I'll remind the board that Truman Trail Phase 2B and the Middle Ground Road are both segments of the Tide to Town project, which aims to connect 75% of Savannah's neighborhoods to trails and sidewalks. The design RFP for Middle Ground Road has now been released, and we expect to award that contract within the next 45 days. I'd also like to highlight to the board that the City of Savannah recently hired Tina Buchhold as our Tide to Town manager. She worked with Chatham County and GDOT, which we feel her experience with both organizations will increase the collaboration on the Tide to Town project between all those jurisdictions. Finally, the I-16 ramp removal project. City Council approved an MOA between the City of Savannah and the Georgia Department of Transportation to update that interchange justification report that will help determine the feasibility of the removal of that ramp and the impact on safety measures and traffic movement throughout the greater urban street grid. That's the City of Savannah update. Any questions from the board?
Questions? No, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
City of Port Wentworth?
City of Port Wentworth starts to submit written reports. So we, as we receive them, we actually attach them to the agenda. So you can see it's attached over here.
Great. Okay, airport.
Good morning. Two major projects going on right now. The security checkpoint continues along. We're actually expanding our checkpoint check-in to from four to six lanes. Steel has been erected. Floors have been poured. We're going to enclose the shell here in February. Moving on to the southeast quadrant of our airport, the demo air cargo, construct apron and taxi lane. That's 95% complete now. That build a taxi lane for further growth and also a common use apron for transient traffic. That conducts my report.
All right, questions? Kat?
Good morning. I'm Mary Moskowitz. I'm the new chief planning officer with CAT. And it's a pleasure to be here this morning. So the first item is the ITS system on our ferries. We have four ferries. Three of those ferries have been installed with that intelligent transportation system. We're still waiting on the installation on the remaining ferry, the Florence Martis. For the ferry boat maintenance facility, we did get the RFP was closed yesterday. We did receive those bids back. We are working on reviewing those. We hope to have the award to the board in January for that project. And then also on the ferry maintenance system, we are working on the schedule for that to make sure we still have that level of service. We still have the ferries on board while we take the other ferries out to maintain those. For the replacement, for the purchase of our hybrid ferry system, we are working with the partners at FTA for that application, and the application is due on January 15th. And then also for our bus replacement system, those four buses will be going to our board for those EV buses in January. And again, working with our partners at Georgia Power on the installation of charging stations at CAT Central, and still working on some of those studies, the ARP, the ARPA study for restoration of our fleet. So any questions? Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. All right, let's go on to. All right.
Next one is Ms. Stephanie.
She's not on.
Ah.
Okay. Didn't send you anything, did
he? Stephanie normally is very good at sending us the information. So this is the she actually sent in the updated reports on the South Carolina part of the projects. So if you're interested. It's a very detailed status report.
All right. Tip.
Tip, since the last meeting, there aren't that many updates. So Sally has been contacting with the project sponsors, and they indicate that there wasn't much progress made. So we attached the original October meeting reports because there wasn't much progress made.
All right. Now, do we have any other public comments? All right, let's go on to the GTIB call for project.
Okay, these notices are just included this whenever we receive we know there's a grant that is available, we attach it over here, and all of these are actually applicable to local jurisdictions. So if you want to apply for some funding, you can just take a look at this. So this is just for information, for your information.
All right. That having been said, we're going to the advanced transportation. Oh, that's for funding, for future.
Yeah, that's
funding.
Also funding, yeah.
All right. Anything else?
If I may, Mr. Chair, I would like to at least let you know we have a calendar that we We'll be sending each one of you. It's at the printer. This calendar this year is very special because it is dedicated to transportation. It has a history of transportation over the years, and I wanted to let you know that you'll be receiving this in the mail. The printers just were not able to get it completely done, but I've got a prototype if you want to look over it to see what's included. It has all the meetings in it that we have here at the MPC, but wanted to make sure that you know that you would be receiving this in the mail. If you'd like to have additional ones, we always send them to the City of Savannah's board members and to the county, but if you would like for your board members to receive a copy of the calendar, please let me know so that we can send the appropriate amount of copies. I want to thank you all for your participation. You all have been very active this year, and it's always a challenge. So thank you for taking the time out of your schedule to come. It's appreciated by the staff. We all work hard to make sure that you get the best information that you have to make good decisions. So thank you for your part. So Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, Happy Hanukkah, and everything else. So thank you.
Mayor?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just two items of note for the good of the order. One is we've been working, it's been no secret that we've been working on rail service, high-speed rail. We've been working with Amtrak and with the mayors of Atlanta, Chattanooga, and Nashville, ultimately to be able to create a corridor. We will happy to learn this week that our project has been elevated from the federal side, which we now will communicate with the Georgia side, which will help hopefully to move this on. There are about 12 projects they're looking at nationwide, and so the elevation will help us. The second thing is on the transportation side is that we've been working, of course, with Secretary Buttigieg, and he changed dates. He's coming here on Friday. And we wanted him to see, he wants to do some rural stuff, but of course we could not have him in Savannah without having to see some Savannah stuff. So we wanted him to see the flyover that Mr. Shiraz talked about, but we also specifically invited him to see CAT and the work that they're doing over there so we can hope to augment some of the good work that's going on over there. So just wanted to let you all know that.
All right, anything else? Yes, sir.
Mr. Chairman, before we go, I just want to, you know, I mentioned earlier this is my last meeting as I roll off as city council there in Richmond Hill. I want to say thank you to the staff. Melody, her staff has been phenomenal to work with, both on the TCC side and the MPO. It's phenomenal what they, the amount of work they get done and the information that they share. And also this board. This board has been it's been a great learning experience for me. I can only say that, you know, I walk away with a lot of knowledge and a lot better understanding of how things, in the transportation side work. So I want to say thank you to yourself for the leadership and also with this committee, you know, the relationships that I've built. I'll look to continue those. I hope everybody has a wonderful new year. Steve Scholar, I believe, will be my replacement, come January. In the February meeting, but it will be a, you know, it will be a delight to work with, and I hope that he represents City of Richmond Hill as well. So, thank you again, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you for your service. And let me say, we accept your retirement, but we didn't lose your phone number. We know how to get in touch. Having said that, our next core MPO board meeting will be February 28th. All right, 10 o'clock here. Wish all of you the best during the Utah season. Be safe and be joyous and be merry and celebrate my birthday tomorrow. All right. That'll help you out being joyous. With that, I move for adjournment. Second. All right. We adjourn.